On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at what are the saints doing in heaven, this place called heaven. The scripture bears out that it is the third heaven. It's not the atmosphere. It's not space. It's not the atmosphere that we walk in, this space here in which we can breathe and we move about in. It's not space that we have gone to. We have even satellites orbiting, and beyond that, there are the different celestial bodies and planets and stars and moons and such as that. But it's the third heaven. It is that place of eternity where our Lord dwells, he tells us. We've taken a look at scriptures regarding such. And so a question was asked me, what are the saints doing in heaven? What is going on? And so the Lord has given us some glimpses of heaven, and that's what they are, they're glimpses. Some things that we can't understand about this place called heaven. We're seeing that the artifacts in heaven are really very limited, and we see that it is the Lord's dwelling place and the place of his throne. We see last time that there is a temple there. There is an altar there. There are those four creatures that seem to be part of the throne of God. They've got these concentric wheels with each of them, and even that throne made of these creatures and a firmament above them and the throne above that upon which our brethren have seen our Lord. They mention similar things, and these are the things that we see there. We don't see in this place called heaven, we don't see streets of gold. Haven't seen any mansions, although the Lord said that in his Father's house are many mansions, so we know that that's so. But in the descriptions of this, we've seen an emphasis on the Lord and his working and his doing. We saw last time about how the saints are gathered there around the throne of God, the saved, the children of God, the elect that have gone on to be with the Lord. They're there around the throne worshiping God. We saw that, have seen that there's these 24 elders. And in John's revelation, John, and the writing the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, reveals that there are these thrones and 24 elders that sit upon these thrones. And other things are mentioned in the scripture, and different things are scattered about. There's two olive trees that are there and representing those two witnesses that will come about in the book of the Revelation too. And so just different things, different hints. The details of the book of the Revelation we are certainly interested in, but in this study we're just looking to look into heaven and see what's there, see what's going on. And as we've approached the book of the Revelation, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one that John knew as he walked and had that ministry, the Lord Jesus had his 3-year ministry upon the earth, John being an apostle, one of his apostles, when the Lord appeared unto him, he knew it was the Lord Jesus. And so what we see in the book of the Revelation is we see the Lord Jesus, having come meek and lowly, having come as Savior, is revealed unto John, being indeed King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the front person of the Trinity unto mankind. And so he's glorified. He is powerful. He is well able and working indeed. We've seen different things in that, and what has been given unto us. It's interesting how the Lord has blessed with a book of Revelation that we might know what's going on with Jesus right now. He is risen, and these things. These things about the Lord Jesus and his glory and his might and his presence should encourage us, because our Savior is very well and is working the work and the plan of God that God has for his children, for the earth, and for all of mankind. So he's not out here pursuing a hobby or something like that. He's busy. And he is most glorious, most powerful, most majestic indeed. And so what a blessing to be given this book. We would not we would not be challenged. I mean, well, we have our challenges in faith, but the thing is, how would it be if the Scripture didn't have the book of the Revelation? It has its place, doesn't it? See, it has its place. And it gives the children of the Lord, it gives us confidence in our Lord and all those things that He's declared for Him to be seen this way. As Brother Isaiah saw Him, as Brother Ezekiel saw Him, as Brother John saw Him, and Lord willing, tonight we're going to touch back on seeing how Brother Daniel seemingly has seen Him. We want to come tonight to Revelation chapter 11. And again, we're not looking into the detail of the book of the Revelation and how, what it means and how it goes together, but just looking at these glimpses. And with John's writing here, the book of the Revelation, we do understand and need to understand that we may be looking, as we would say, at future things that have not come to pass. Now understand, how do you reconcile eternity? We just can't do it. There is sequence in eternity. There's this, and there's this, and there's this. There is order in eternity. But with there being no time there, time being here a function of the universe and of the earth, it's just really hard for us to reckon and reason that out. We just must receive it and believe it and know that it's so. And so John has shown these things. I'm of the opinion that the Lord is well able to take Brother John there, even in time, to show him the real deal. So I don't believe that what we're shown and what John was shown in the book of the Revelation was a trial run. I think it's the real thing. Because God, our Lord, transcends time. He made time. He's able to take John, if you will, to the future and show him the real deal, the true thing. And so, I wouldn't be dogmatic about that, but I believe that that's what the Lord is able in His power to take John there and show him things like God knows and sees all things, past, present, and future, relative to our place here in time. In Revelation 11, we want to come here to verse number 14. Here, the seventh trumpet, three last trumpets, the sixth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, are regarded and are declared to be woes upon mankind, judgment of the Lord. Again, this all comes from the seven sealed book of God's judgment that only the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to take from the one that sits on the throne. He was the only one to look upon it. He was the only one to take it. He's the only one to open it up. He's the only one able to read it. And He is doing so. And so we've worked our way through seals and trumpets and such as that. We come here to the last of these trumpets. Verse number 14 of Revelation 11. The second woe is past, the sixth trumpet. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. And we've heard that. We've understood that there's voices. We hear about John telling about Jesus when he speaks now. It's like mighty waters. The voice of the Almighty has been referred to. It's great, and it's just you can feel, if you will, the voice of God as He speaks. And voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, that is Jesus, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. We see that over and over with these, that they do that. Elders, 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones, and they have crowns upon their heads, and they worship the Lord and bow before Him in that worship. They cast their crowns before the Lord in their worship, and they're not embarrassed even to fall on their faces to the floor of that place to worship and praise the Lord God Almighty, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come. And it's telling, this is This is telling about things that are going to be dealt with in coming chapters. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, reward to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, reward unto those that fear thy name, small and great, of no notoriety, of great notoriety, and everywhere in between. However it was that the Lord used them, the prophets, the saints, those that fear him, his children, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. You know, we got a lot of thing going on today about green earth and worship of the earth and policy that's trying to just is just crazy and unreasonable. Of course, we're to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us, but mankind is not going to be able to destroy this earth. Our Lord has told who's going to destroy this earth. Now, certainly we can make problems for ourselves regionally. We can make problems for ourselves even on a greater scale. The pollution that was going on in the 60s and the 70s in some major cities was incredible. And I come from a region not too far down the river from or the road from where I grew up where the river would be on fire often. Okay, they're around Charleston and Nitro and Kanawha. And so we can tear things up. But you know what I believe that the Lord is talking about here, this destroying of the earth, destroying it with sin, corrupting the Lord's good, wonderful creation with sin, depravity, wickedness, and defiance of God. That is our problem. That is mankind's problem, is indeed our sin. And again, we need to be good stewards, but the Lord has given us all things to enjoy. And I'll just say this, we are at a time from the flood that it's good to eat some chicken and steak, okay, and beef. So don't worry about that. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. That's what we want to see here. This temple of God has been pointed out to us. We've shown this. We've understood that the temple is there in heaven. And I think that we're coming, I'm of the opinion that we're coming to this where the Lord, we saw earlier, where the Lord revealed himself from heaven unto seemingly the inhabitants of this earth, where they declare, hide us. They cry into the rocks, into the mountains, fall on us. And hide us from him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, they know, and these are the heathen, they know that God is there, the Lord Jesus is there, and the plain declaration of them is they're trying to kill themselves so they cannot, believing that they won't face the wrath of God come down to the earth. I think that indeed that's what it is. The kingdom of the Lord, which is eternal, and the kingdoms of the earth and men are being brought together to understand that the kingdom of the Lord is superior unto all. And the Lord is even revealing himself unto the heathen in this day, in that way, from heaven. The temple of God was opened in heaven. In heaven, everybody knows where the temple of God is. The saints have no problems. The angels have no problem knowing where the temple of the Lord is. Okay? So how is it that it would be open? We've seen, and I think in previous passages, that the saints were there, or there were those there in the temple of the Lord. So it's not that it's not for those in heaven with the Lord now, there is no restriction at hand regarding the temple, it doesn't seem. But it's opened. It's opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. We have a hint about this, and I've mentioned it in the book of Hebrews, those things, artifacts built by the children of Israel by the direction of God. It tells us those things that the children of Israel had in the Ark of the Covenant and other things at hand, altar and such as that, were figures of the true. And here it is, we have revealed that there is an ark in heaven. Now understand, it's the Lord's ark. It's got his purpose that he has for it. It's not to be worshipped. It is indeed an artifact, a holy artifact there of God for its purpose. But it's God's. And it was seen there. And it's revealed there. I tell you what, as we leave this chapter and go into the next, I am of the great opinion that, and I've looked at this chapter 12 in time past, and I wonder, I'm just going to say it that way, I wonder if indeed the account of God in this allegory coming up in chapter 12 won't be like big, heavenly, widescreen TV and IMAX, God Max, to show the world what is going on and what is happening. Because, see, for 6,000 years, the heathen and wicked men have been denying God's existence, have been denying God's way. When the Savior came, denying God's Savior, Satan has been working amongst the depravity of men, tempting in that and deceiving in that, and men in their own wickedness and depravity having problems because of that, and Satan just catering to it. And now the time has come that everybody's going to know who's in charge. The temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in the temple, in his temple, the Ark of the Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now listen, we've heard that there's lightnings, voices, and maybe even thunderings. If you have lightning, you have thunder, right? In heaven. There's no need of an earthquake in heaven. Earthquakes happen on the earth. And where does hail happen? Well, it could happen in heaven, but we know that it's going to happen on the earth. It's a judgment of God is at hand. Let's read on. So we come to chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. It's a continuous. Sometimes we need the chapters and the verses to be able to navigate in the Bible, to get around in the Bible altogether in teaching and preaching and learning and such as that. But sometimes the chapters can work against us. Just because there's a chapter break doesn't mean that there's a break in the thought. And so I've always treated this way, and I think that we do well to look at the and say, it's just a continuation of verse 19 in chapter 11. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. The third heaven? The third heaven, or in space, revealed into the earth, even to the atmosphere of the earth? That's what I wonder. Let's read on. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. A woman clothed with the sun. So see, this is allegorical. It's something that can be seen that has a spiritual meaning. Okay? It's known unto the Lord always and is revealed to who the Lord chooses to reveal it. And I think it's going to become very evident as the inhabitants of the world watch this, if that is the case, what he's talking about here. And the thing is, a connection is going to be made instantly made about the Lord's working, his Savior, and his nation, and what he has done. Just like he's been declaring through his prophets and through the Scripture for all these many, many, for thousands of years. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. This is the picture that is in heaven. Listen, understand, brothers and sisters, the saints get this. The saints have no problem understanding this. You and I, we understand what this is speaking about. But I've come to the opinion that this is a message unto the inhabitants of the earth to understand what has happened. She being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. I wonder about these 7 heads. Understand that presently we know that there are 7 continents on the earth. And there's some things that we're going to bring out here in a few verses later on. And 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. His heads of this dragon. And so we're going to see what that represents here in a minute. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. So we have this picture of a woman travailing in birth. She's getting ready to deliver her child. And this dragon there to thwart the child being delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. There's only one. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Very clear who that is, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is a short show. This wonder that appears in heaven, the woman travailing, the child that's delivered, the dragon with these seven heads, seven crowns, 10 horns, looking to devour the child, but was unsuccessful in doing so. And this child was caught up into God and into his throne. Now, you and I know what the child has done. He became a man. He grew up. He gave himself on the cross of Calvary, died, was buried, and rose again to bring salvation to his people. And he ascended unto the Father. He rose from the dead and in time ascended unto the Father. We know that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the woman is Israel. We know that the 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the Lord's nation, and the Lord's making it clear. And I think what the Lord is doing here, see, when the power of the Lord is revealed and there's no moving of the Spirit of God, men get riled and vehement against God. That's what you have with Pharaoh. He saw the power of God, but there was no Spirit moving of the Lord to convict him of anything. All he knew was, if I do this, it hurts, so I'll back up from that a little bit if I can. And that's God's working. That's God's pleasure. That's what God does amongst mankind. It's his business, not ours. And so this is what God's doing with the earth. Yeah, Israel is his nation. Yes, to the naysayers, Israel does exist. And yes, his son did come from Israel. And yes, Satan is a true person. A fallen angel, and he did try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, but was totally unsuccessful. Now what? I think the picture is shown, and now Brother John has shown the events that take place in this future time as he's looking on for what the Lord wants to show him, what the Lord wants to show him to give unto us. It says here, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. This is just high point allegory, okay? This isn't a bunch of detail. This is taking chapters and verses and books of the Bible and just telling them in quick order. And now it's all the way down here to the last half, seemingly, of the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, and what the Lord's going to do to hold up Israel until he comes for her. It's real quick. And God shows this unto the inhabitants of the earth, I wonder. And you know what they do? They even get more riled. Listen to what John happens. So this great wonder is shown, and then these events come right after this. Okay, so history is shown on the God Max. Okay, you understand what I mean? I mean just a declaration by God visually into the earth, and then now these events take place for us in this future time. And there was war in heaven. It's coming to an end. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, that third of the stars that he took, fallen angels, the fallen angels that went with Satan, with the devil, with Lucifer, are those demons at work that we see in the Scriptures, in the New Testament Scriptures, in our Lord's day, in the Apostles' day, and that are even working today and have been working the entire time that the earth has been here since the fall. So then there's war that comes about. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. There will be no prevailing by any, even Satan and his minions, against the Lord's host. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. It's come to a time there's no access for heaven, for Satan in heaven anymore. We'll see something about that here in a minute. And the great dragon was cast out. Just for clarity, so everybody knows, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he's cast out of heaven. He's got access seemingly now. And we're going to see about that. But then, after the Lord shows this picture into the world and then undertakes these events, even this prince of the earth is cast out of heaven. Why? Because God is the Almighty, and he's bringing this to an end. Remember what was said earlier here? Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. Verse number 18 of chapter 11. Okay, verse number 9 in chapter 12, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Let's take a look quickly at some things. And in Luke chapter 10, take a look here, Luke chapter 10. This was what the Lord Jesus said about Satan, about Lucifer, when he left his first estate, the cherub that covers the greatest of all angels, we understand, maybe even part of the throne of the Lord. It says here in Luke chapter 10, verse number 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was there when Satan was cast out. Okay? Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, we're given here as the Lord's children, as church, great understanding about our Lord's working. It says in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2, and you, the saved, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was our state. Wherein in time past, the way it was with us before we were saved, walked according to the course of this world. That's the depravity of man. That's enough to just make it sick. Okay? According to the prince of the power of the air. Prince. Satan. Lucifer. The devil. Is the prince and the power of the air. Atmosphere, heaven number one, what you and I walk through. Okay? And so, and that's the course that we walked. Our own lust, the way of the world, according to the way of Satan, the spirit, so he is a spirit, a fallen angel, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so he's tempting men and putting temptation out in front of us. He's going about to destroy mankind. He hates mankind. And he's doing all that he can. So we see here that Satan, Lucifer, is a prince. The prince of the power of the air. He's been given a rulership over the earth. And he will be held accountable for it by the Lord. And you know what he's doing? It tells us in the scripture in Ezekiel that he's destroying his land and destroying his people. He's not a creator, so God had to give him a people, and he's destroying them. And he's not a creator, so God gave him his earth to be responsible over, and he's destroying that too. Okay? And then we come to John chapter 14. Take a look over here. Jesus, nearing the time of going to the cross, and he says this, verse number 30. We don't have time to delve into the context here. We just want to see this point. John 14:30. Hereafter, Jesus speaking, I will not talk much with you, speaking to the apostles, the disciples, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He's coming. He's trying. He's not going to be successful. That's what the Lord's saying. He has no hold on me. He has no grip on me. He has no ability to stop me. I tell you, that's the kind of Savior we need, and we have. If you're here and you're not saved, that's the Savior you need, is a Savior that can do something against every part and piece of evil that there is. Because he's holy and righteous and pure, loving and gracious, wrathful, and full of vengeance against sin and disobedience against him. But you know what? He says to sinners, repent of your sins and believe and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to go over to the book of Daniel. And there is kind of a debate here about Satan being cast out of heaven with no more access, and then only here on the earth, and having no access to heaven. I'm of the opinion that Satan has access to heaven, even now, until this time that we read here in Revelation chapter 12, okay? And then, because we're going to see here in the balance of chapter 12. So I know it's a lot to keep track of, but just try to stay with it, and the Lord will help us with it. And we might have to read it over a few times for it to get and stick with us. It's just that way, but it's good just to try, okay? It's a blessing just to try. Listen to what's said here in Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So the Lord's revealing things unto Daniel. Listen to what it says. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Ahitophel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. Now, understand, we've heard account about this regarding the Lord Jesus. But then there is that is angelic too. The angels at the sepulcher of the Lord Jesus Christ were like lightning. They appeared like lightning. This is the heavenly. Okay? We're listening to try to understand angels or the Lord Jesus, okay? And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. We've heard that relative to our Lord. And I, Daniel, verse 7, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. That happens a lot when the heavenly comes down. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, a common thing we've seen, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I mean, the goodness of life within this man was just wilted and weak at the sight of the heavenly come to him. And I retained no strength. We've seen that with our other brethren. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. We see that with Ezekiel, don't we? And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Our brother was afflicting himself and fasting. He has been praying and mourning over the sins of the nation, his desire to be closer to his Lord and to understand things that he didn't understand. You hear this? For 20 days, he's been pursuing to know and to hear from the Lord. And he says here, from the very first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. 3 weeks. This one that is speaking was on the way, but was met by an adversary, the prince of Persia. See, remember what Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ in his temptation? He said, all these kings of the world are mine, and I can give them to whomever I want to. And Satan evidently takes his minions, those fallen angels, and he assigns them to different places to work evil and to work wickedness. This angel is on the way to bring this word of God, a messenger of God, ministering spirits. We've seen about that in the scriptures. And this fallen angel that is a prince of the kingdom of Persia is resisting him to keep him from coming with the word of the Lord. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, everyone here, there is in heaven and in glory and in here in this space and time, a world that we cannot see that is the heavenly work of God and the resistive work of Satan and his fallen angels. It's at hand. Now, it's a good thing that you and I could see it, can't see it. But our Lord can see it. And you know what? We have nothing to fear about it if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it's going on. This angel takes off. The prayer is heard. He's on the way. But then there's resistance from this angel, this fallen angel, that is the prince of Persia. And so we see that. We hear that about Satan being the prince and the power of the air. The prince, the overarching prince of the fallen angels of the earth. And so he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael. See, we've heard about Michael. Michael, one of the chief princes. So Michael has a responsibility too. I'm thinking over Israel, okay? And he is, and seemingly we would call or refer to him as an archangel, okay? He's a chief amongst the angels. We have that from the scriptures. Came to help me. So this angel speaking had received help from Michael, an angel, and remained there with the kings of Persia. He fought them off so this angel could get on through to Daniel. He said, Brother Jim, that is just pie in the sky and it's crazy. No, I tell you what, the Lord has revealed to us the way it works. A little glimpse. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall be befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days, future time, future events. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there any breath left in me. He said, all this that I've heard and I've received, I'm just weak. I'm just brought to nothing. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. See, it's likened to one of the creatures around the throne. There took a coal and put it upon Isaiah's lips and said, "You're cleansed now." He said, "I'm filthy." Because that's what the glory of the Lord and of the heavenly does for it. It reveals our corruption. That's what Daniel said. Daniel is a man in king's houses. He's got the best of the best. And in the glory of the Lord, he knew and understood he was just sinful flesh. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. The angel's going back. He's bringing him word, and now he's going back. And when I am going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And so there's going to be another. There's this activity in heaven and on the other side, in that eternal side, and even there amongst the sphere, the globe of the world. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And so another reference there to Michael, the great angel, a great angel of God. And so Satan, back in Revelation 12, Satan is cast to the earth. His angels are cast to the earth. I believe these things that we saw over here in the book of Daniel lean towards us understanding that Satan does have access to heaven for a time, according to the will of the Lord. There is fighting amongst them. But now, the Lord having revealed this unto the world about the truth of Israel and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in glory, we've seen that, we've understood what the Scripture said about that, the Lamb that is opening up this book. This war takes place, Satan and his crowds cast out of heaven, and listen to what the Scripture says. Verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, his Redeemer, his Savior, his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night." Seems like the Lord puts up with the railing and the accusation of Satan ongoing. And if you remember, I preached a message here. It's probably maybe going on 2 years ago now. May God help us as his children that we don't give Satan fodder to accuse us before our Lord. Think about it. The children of God giving fodder, giving reason, giving ammunition for Satan to be accusing us before the Lord. It's one thing to be falsely accused. God help us if he's telling the truth. Tell you what, these are real things. May the Lord help us. But he's cast down, they rejoiced, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus and his sacrifice, and by the word of their testimony, their faithfulness to what he has said. And they loved not their lives unto death, willing to give their lives for the sake of the Lord on this earth. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you. He's been cast down unto you. Satan's dominion and ability to move has been lessened. Having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How does he know it? From this very book. And when the Lord starts taking Satan and starts constraining him from what he's had for however long that it's been, and starts squeezing him down and squeezing him down, he cannot resist, and he knows it's going to come to an end because God is going to bring him to an end. We're going to see about that in message to come, scripture to come. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." So she's still at hand, the nation of Israel. The Lord using this to even bring his nation into himself. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." And I think this is speaking about the preservation of the Lord of Israel in those last days. "That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time." Speaking of three and a half years. The so many days mentioned in verse number 6. From the face of the serpent, from the devil. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman." In the scripture, it could be a water and it could be flood and Satan's power and ability on the earth. Or we see water representing people in the book of the Revelation and such. So he could send the armies of the world after her, which we know are going to come to pass, after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood." John sees this. The way he sees it, he describes it, "which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman," but why? He cannot kill her. He can only prevail so far. Because she is the Lord's nation, Israel. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony." That's interesting. "The testimony of Jesus Christ." Of Jesus Christ. Whew. Okay, there you go. That's for tonight. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without him, you have no help and no hope. But I tell you what, with him as Savior, you've got everything you need for living life. Living life here and living life eternally. our Lord Jesus, that our Lord Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God the Son come down in the flesh, the Savior, the Judge, the Creator. He is, in God's long suffering, is giving time for men, women, boys, and girls to repent and believe and trust in Him. I pray that you will. I pray that you do. We who are saved, may we rejoice in our Lord and the things that He tells us and the things that He's given to us. This wonderful place called heaven, that if we leave out of here by death, we will go into and be there with our Lord and be there with our brothers and sisters and behold these things. We leave out of here in the rapture. That is the place, the destination we're going to, for a period of time in a matter of speaking. Heaven. Heaven is wonderful and heaven is beautiful and heaven is awesome because God is there. The artifacts are there and they're in their place and they're good and wonderful things. But what makes it great is our Lord, is our Lord. We pray and desire that each and every one, everybody in the house, would through Jesus Christ be able to go to that place. That's our desire. He's the way, the truth, and the life.